Good morning, Emmanuel. We welcome you today to our service of worship here at Emmanuel, a part of Old Town Partnership of Churches. Whether you are a regular or a visitor here today, please feel at home. We welcome you too if you are listening to the recording on the internet and send you our best wishes. This morning's Bible reading, Isaiah 55, is read by Eddie Thomas, and I am reading the prayers of intercession. I should like to remind you of one or two of the following notices. For those of you who might like to explore the possibility of confirmation, the classes start next Sunday. Please speak to Robert if you're interested. Second one, Paul Field is an award-winning co-creator of Cliff Richard's Millennium Prayer. He's coming to Swindon on Friday the 7th at 7:30. That's this week coming, at Bath Road Methodist Church. See the poster for more details. There are more notices in weekly news, so please have a good read. We will be serving coffees and teas after the service, so join us out the back to get to know everybody a bit more. And finally, we have a few moments of silence as I light the Christ candle.
Good morning. Welcome to this beautiful yet cold morning, but beautiful, and let me emphasize the beautiful morning we have today. From Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, from chapter 15, therefore, sisters and brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. These words were part of the readings I did this week. And I must admit that there were moments this week that I felt that lots of the things one does, particularly for the world scenario, weren't as fruitful as could be. Because you know that the labor in the Lord is not in vain. May this give us the courage, the strength, and the renewal of faith to be able to do and live as God's children. We join in singing. From Sing Praise, Hymn 238, Creating God, we bring our song of praise for life and work that celebrate your ways. The peace candle we light every Sunday. Every Sunday before I come to church, I quickly look at the headlines of a newspaper on my laptop and discover usually that there is something to be brought to church for our prayers. I made a note of them because as I light the peace candle, I'd like you to think of the decision today from the cutoff of humanitarian aid to Gaza. The intent we saw on all news this week to humiliate Ukraine and those areas of the world where hunger is increasing, where violence is increasing, where abuse in so many different forms is increasing. Lord, we light the candle and ask that your peace may be real through the efforts of many, of people like us. Amen. As people of God, sometimes we just have to look around because we can't not also thank God for many things that do happen, that do go around, that are taking place. And Lindsay, you gave me the idea because yesterday was the collection at Tesco, wasn't it? And I wrote to Lindsay and she said, we've got plenty of volunteers ready to be at Tesco for the time allotted. And in the world scheme of things, probably most people would not have put that on the list. And yet at Tesco yesterday, for the collection of Christian Aid, there were a number of people offering their time for the work that Christian Aid does do, and the work that Christian Aid does do does make a big difference in the world. So it was happening in our area, it was happening close at hand, and it's happening of people that were able to help. Just multiply that by many things that are happening, and we bring these and other things to God in prayer. Let us pray. Thank you. Thank you for making us who we are and how we are. Not perfect, because we are human, with possibilities of improving, of leaving aside things that should not be happening. But you gave us the capacity to recognize in so many different ways the greatness that goes on around us. When we become aware of how the earth, in the positive sense, is being broken up because of the bulbs and the seeds that were lying dormant, have felt the change of season and they're beginning to sprout. And there are colors and they will be scent. And that's a gift that's out of our hands. And let us recognize so many of those little moments that make such a big difference. We want to thank you for the lives of those people who have come before us, who have opened doors and windows so that we may follow in a way that they set up. Loving God, we thank you for all that is good and all that is kind and all that is loving, even when we feel it so little. But we will never know how it touches the lives of others in the way often it has touched our lives when others have been kind and loving to us. We thank you for new opportunities, for correcting mistakes, for being able to say, I'm sorry, for the opportunity of forgiving ourselves for weights and burdens we have carried for far too long, for the talents that you have distributed so generously, where people surprise us by doing the things that for them are so easy to do, and yet for us would be impossible tasks. And the result of that brings joy and happiness. They're the small things of life, but not the overlooked things of life. And forgive us. Forgive us when we do mess things up, because we do. Forgive us for not valuing kindness and love. Forgive us if we become too selfish. Forgive us if we become too bossy. Forgive us for what we have done that has hurt other people. And make us new. Restore us. Strengthen us. May we be able to always give ourselves fully to your calling. Reminding ourselves that what we do in your name is not in vain. To you be the glory, dear God, and to us the challenge of living our faith as you want us to do so. And we come together as your children and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And let us now share what we have been able to set apart, knowing that it will be multiplied in the love of God and reach to those it has to reach. The offering. All that we are and all that we have is yours, dear God. Give us the wisdom to be able to share from what we receive, put into your hands so that it may reach the lives of those who need it, and bless those who have to decide on how this is administered to the glory of your name. What is in the plate and what we are and what we have is yours. Thank you. Amen. And we share the words of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. Jeff has just given us a clue of what the anthem is going to be. The choir will now sing the anthem, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from the Old Testament, and you'll find that in the Bibles in your pew on page 696. Ho! Everyone who thirsts comes to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that do not know, and nations that you do not know, you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains of the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Eddie, for leading us in the reading. And we will now sing hymn 343 from Rejoice and Sing. When, O God, our faith is tested and our hope is undermined, when our love of living shrivels and we feel bereft and drained, then we turn to you and cry for your answer to our why.
Thank you.
This chapter 55 in Isaiah, I love it. And I love it since lecture 50 years ago at theological college, where we were told the first word, ho, it says in the translation we have here, places it in a marketplace context. Come, I mean, it's the seller in a marketplace sharing the marvels of the wares that they are offering to the people. Come, oh, here I am, look what I've got. It's the prophet telling us about God's redemption, the work of God in the world, and inviting us to be part of it. Given that in a short while in the service, we will be inviting people to come forward for the prayer of health and wholeness, I believe that this reading has so much to offer us. We come face to face with a challenge. And I know that people sometimes get tired of coming to church and saying, oh, not another Sunday to be challenged. But that's how we nurture our faith. That's basically why we do come together. It's different. Being challenged is different than being told off. And if we did too many tellings off, I would agree. I wouldn't want to come to that church either. The question is, how can a faithful church become a sign of God's love in society? And that's the big question. And as in the prayer today and as in the reading just now, it's in the little and everyday issues and matters that this can happen. We often feel that it's got to be the extraordinary. And God's not expecting that. God counts on the little things, on the ordinary things of life. Like that chap in the market square trying to sell their goods. I've got in my face this moment as I'm saying this, part of the newsreel, I can't remember what day this week, in Syria, the building of Syria. And this old woman who had a little shop, and basic, very simple. And it was fantastic because her little shop was in the middle of the most destroyed and devastated area of the city she was in. All she had around her was rubble, but people were coming because she was the only shop there. She said, I'd like it to be bigger, but this is what I can do, and this is what I have. It's not what I would like. That keeps me going, but it's what I have. And I said to myself, wow, this woman has just thrown at me the parable of what the church is. Not only what we would like, yes, dream of what we would like, but let's start with what we have and who we are. Isaiah 55 is the closing chapter of a section that began in chapter 40. 40 to 55 are a unique section in Isaiah, written while the people of God were in the Babylonian captivity. And this is a passage that talks to us of deliverance. And it's weird. And it fits in so wonderful to what's going on in the world today, in the politics of today, because that deliverance came in the hands of Cyrus. And Cyrus was the foreign general prince who conquered those who had kept the Israelites in prison, imprisoned in foreign lands, and he liberated them. And the last thing they expected was that their liberation was going to come from a stranger. God worked within the promised people, but Cyrus wasn't part of that. And they had to rethink a lot of things and start giving thanks to Cyrus for what he had done. With all the things that you have seen and I have seen this week, can you imagine what the opening words of Isaiah 55 mean to those people who are struggling and facing hardship? Come, drink for nothing. You don't have to pay. Can you imagine the chill this sends down the back of certain people that I will not give them the honor of being mentioned in church because I don't think they deserve to be mentioned except in our prayers. The whole market system collapses. Come for nothing. Don't worry. You're not in a situation to be able to pay now. The Lord offers. What it means to those people in war zones or in parts of the world where creation is being devastated. Come, all you who are thirsty, all you who have no money, come to waters, buy and eat, buy wine and milk, but you don't have to pay. God is opening up a new vision, a new reality, which includes even those who can't pay. Where the market in the world today is saying, those who can't pay, I'm sorry, not my problem. The significance of these words is so profound. And they are meant to be, are they meant to be taken seriously? Can we construct a society based on this vision of Isaiah 55? Well, once again, we come face to face with words that are offering us and offering the world an alternative lifestyle, where there is hope for the hopeless and new opportunities for those who feel lost, confused, and loved. Because it has these words as well: let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on them, and God will freely pardon. This is also hope for those who have gone beyond God's love, and yet God is not closing the door. Yes, these words of the prophet are not just wishful thinking. They are the words that are meant to be taken seriously, for which we can build a new society. And then we hear the reassuring words. I told you I loved Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways, says the Lord. And that's the culmination of the reading. Yes, God says, we think differently, we act differently, but that doesn't close the door. He talks about the rain that falls. We can probably identify with rain. It's been one of the wettest winters we've had for a long time. The fields are still covered in water in many areas, and floods, and we've had yellow warnings and amber warnings and storms, yes. But these aren't destructive rains. They're the rains that fall from heaven as life-giving. The power of God's word is compared to this rain, because God is working the liberation of the people from all forms of oppression. Economic, that's how it starts. Political, poverty, trauma in every form, leading to a sense of fulfilling life. And that is the glory of it. That is the ministry of Jesus. John 10:10 sums it up in these wonderful words: I have come so that all may have life and have it in fullness. What does that mean to those whose life is not fulfilling in any way? What does it mean to those people who are struggling, who feel that nobody cares, when they hear these words of Isaiah, or through us they see what fulfilling life can be, because this is what we are taking to share with the world? It talks images of fertility and abundance. And we're at that time of the year, as I said in the prayer, where the earth is breaking forth and letting plants grow. Even the trees that look dead in winter are beginning to change their color. I was out in the garden yesterday looking and they're beginning to have sprouts and little green leaves. And we take that for granted. God is the one who provides the life-transforming power. Yes, even today, in the midst of the terrible situations of history, the ones we thought we would never, never see again, when the images and the ideologies that we thought were defeated and buried seem to be so popular today, God has a different plan, because God's words will never return empty, we are told. Our prayers, our thoughts, our actions, when we engage in the life-giving power of God, there will be newness. Think of the people who made such a difference by simple things. There was 5 or 6 of us at Barbara Barnes's service this week. And just one thing I want to point out. Most of you who know her, knew her, will remember the same thing that was mentioned in the service. 60 years Sunday school teacher. How many people have said, "Oh, I can't do that. You've got to know. You've got to be an expert." How many lives were touched by a ministry of 60 years as Sunday school teacher? Did she think she was getting up to be the extraordinary person every Sunday morning when she came? I doubt it. And those are the little things I'm talking about. The little things that we can do. And the absence of little things can be so disturbing, so upsetting, so off-putting. There will be newness in these little things of life. And the final words express the call to walk in God's way. Song, joy, transformation. Instead of the briars, the myrtle. Instead of the thorn bush, the juniper. These are plants that were considered healing plants in the time. All that hurts will be transformed into hope and be life-affirming. We, as part of the church here, Emmanuel, Highworth, the URC, the Old Town Partnership of Churches, we are part of the community that need to become prophets of God's love in the world today, to make real in all of us that transformation of pain, of despair, of brokenness into newness. Transformational as the rain that falls and brings life. We have to become the living signals that the name of the Lord will last forever. You've probably been told this thousands of times. But you know what? Our commitment, our life, our being followers of Jesus Christ doesn't start and end when we sit here for an hour. But even Robert is more or less making it sure it's an hour and not much more than an hour lately. Or for an hour and 20, or for whatever. It's what happens when we leave here. It's what happens when we stand in a queue. It's what happens if we do something nice that'll change the life of people. If that doesn't happen when we leave here, what we do here makes no sense at all. So let me finish with the words that have often started a sermon. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I couldn't help myself this Sunday. I've done something that I shouldn't, but we have 2 consecutive hymns written by the same person. The previous one was a Fred Cann, and this is a Fred Cann. Hymn 654, we turn to you, O God of every nation, giver of good and origin of life. You know I choose the words more than anything else. Seated. As you may have read in the weekly news, there will now be a time for a prayer for wholeness and health for yourselves, for people that are close to your heart. You may want to come forward so we can have a short word of prayer, or you may just prefer to sit in the pew where you are, chatting with God, telling God how you feel, or why you are thinking of somebody very specially and very particularly. So I just invite those who would like to come forward to please feel invited for a word of prayer for wholeness and for health. Thank you. O Lord, nurture your people and let us believe and trust in your will. Look after us and those we have been praying for. Amen. Liz will now lead us in the prayers of intercession for this morning.
Among other things, being a Christian involves having hope that life can be better. Being a child of Christ means that we are charged to live a life in hope. However, when we look around at the world we live in, it is easy to despair. I'm guessing that it has ever been thus. And yet Jesus urges us by his own example, with love and dignity, to set our eyes and hearts towards an improved world. So let us pray for better things. O Lord, our Father, our Mother, we sometimes fret and chafe under the burdens we carry, but we are commanded in Psalms to cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Simply, we are told to let go and let God. We pray together that we might let go of our worries and let God deal with them. So as we bring our concerns to you, Lord, give us the conviction that you are listening and that although we often feel helpless, there is always hope. Prayer is always close. We are always close to you, and this gives us hope. We are particularly aware this week of the desire for peace in Ukraine. Our hearts go out to those caught in the war and also to those who are involved in trying to reach a meaningful solution. We pray that powerful states will resist taking advantage of those with less. We pray for unity, for a genuine desire to selflessly act for the good and without personal gain. Help us all to love our brothers and sisters who are in need. May justice roll like a river, and may your children be known by their love. We pray for the changes sweeping the USA, knowing that the implications will be far-reaching. We pray for compassion. We pray for those in diplomatic roles and for those who seek to reconcile one country with another. We pray for those who stand up for the truth, for those whose love and courage give us hope. We pray for them. There are many other countries that are in conflict. We pray for those in Sudan and Syria, Iran, Haiti, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. We also remember the ceasefire in Gaza. May the peace be upheld with dignity and honesty. We remember those who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed, whether by man-made disasters or by natural events, although nowadays it is sometimes hard to see the differences between the two causes. May we become better stewards of this world, loving not just its geography, geology, biology, and other aspects of the natural universe, but also its people. We pray in hope. We pray for better. Jesus, who turned the world upside down, we pray for the leaders and the led, the powerful and powerless, the joyful and joyless, the hopeful and hopeless. We pray for a fairer world. We pray for those without homes and for those who have the power to create more homes. We pray for those whose health is failing and for those who lovingly care for them. We pray for those who mourn and for those who have no one to mourn them. We pray for families who find it hard to feed and clothe their children, and we pray for those who are wasteful. May we be mindful not only of our own needs, but also of the needs of others. We remember those we personally know who need the comfort and empowerment of your love. Quietly, we name them before you now. Lord, we also pray for those who are nameless to us. The man who sits and asks for change outside the co-op. For those who feel they can take goods without paying from that same shop. The lonely who walk the streets and the sick who cannot leave their homes. In prayer, give us the tools and the love to create hope. There is always hope. We pray for the leaders within our local churches, for ministers, elders, lay preachers, and congregations. We remember our sister church in Highworth. We pray and hope that we in the partnership can work as one, doing jointly those things that are best undertaken together. We think of the summer holiday club that is being planned and the need for willing volunteers. We think of those who are contemplating confirmation in May. May they feel supported by us. We hope in prayer. With the great power of prayer that is vested in us, we call with our collective voice that we shall gain strength from knowing that there is always hope and that we are built up and know the presence of God when we pray together or alone. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. On this bright spring morning, we pray in hope, bringing these prayers to you today, our Father, our Mother, God. Amen.
Thank you. Very much, Liz. And I would just like to add to that, we pray for our sisters and brothers of the Roman Catholic Church, really concerned about the health of the Pope at this time, who's made such a big, big impact in the world through his ministry and what will happen in the near future. We sing our last hymn, which is a closing to our prayers, the reading, everything we have been thinking about and saying, and even that which we had in the circle of prayer just now. 96, hymn 96, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee.
Thank you.
God, we leave this place nourished, challenged, fed. Lead us, that what we do, what we say, and what we think in the next days may be the words that make a difference in this world, small that they may be. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with the people of God everywhere, this day and forevermore. Amen.